praise you, O Christ.
There's a cartoon sketch of a person across the table interviewing with another person. It's a job interview. And the person is saying to the other who's interviewing them, "My strength lies in my ability to deny my weaknesses." You know, we don't like to talk about our weaknesses, do we? Perhaps we're afraid if we lay them out there, then people will take advantage of us. Even in interviews, the advice is when they ask you about your weaknesses, just take one of your strengths and talk about it as if it were a fault. As I think about this story of the transfiguration and the healing of the demon-possessed boy which follows, the meaning that these twin stories share with us, the thing that strikes me is the contrast here between strength and weakness. You see, by the time Jesus climbs up that mountain with Peter and John and James, he has already shared once with them about his fate that is going to happen at Jerusalem, where he will be handed over and killed, and on the third day be raised. And all this had them quite wondering, are we following the right guy here? I mean, a Messiah needs strong, right? Not go down in flames. Victory goes with strength. To be handed over to death, that's the epitome of weakness. That he would suffer, be rejected, be killed. That just doesn't compute. Already once, Jesus' words had fallen on their ears. Words about God's plan for God's people worked out through God's only Son. And he told them, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily. So I know we probably have gotten it in our heads. This story on the mountain, this transfiguration story, that's a mountaintop story, right? That's the kind of thing that happens up there is what feeds you, makes you have the strength to go on and do God's work. Well, I'm not sure that it was quite the spiritual high that we often think of it as. Maybe momentarily when Peter was trying to figure out a way to hold on to that moment and keep Moses and Elijah up there with Jesus on the mountain. In the midst of hashing out those plans, God just kind of hushed him as the cloud came over and God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." In this story, Peter's own weakness is unveiled. Peter doesn't understand. He doesn't get it as much as he would like to. In the Greek, this word departure that they're speaking about, Jesus' departure from Jerusalem, it means, the word is exodus. It's an exodus where Jesus will, through this tragedy, give himself over to and carry the whole world to freedom. As Moses carried the people across the water to freedom, Jesus would, through his own blood, carry us to freedom. This isn't a spiritual high moment anymore for these three. It's a terrifying moment, the story tells us. And they can't even talk about it going down the mountain. It's not something that immediately gives them fuel to minister in the valley below. The transfiguration was traumatic. And in the weakness of their human minds, they couldn't grasp it. And then in their weakness, they're unable on the other side of the mountain to help the man with his boy who is possessed, his only son.
He says, I talked to your disciples. They couldn't cast it out.
Jesus had already given them the power to do such things, but they could not. See this weakness of the disciples contrasted with the strength of Jesus. We see the inability of humans to hear, and yet the demon in the boy hears right away and listens to Jesus and obeys his command. You know, then Jesus says these words, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you?" People wonder, scholars wonder even, who's he talking to here? Is he talking to the father of the child? Because he does say, bring your son here. Is he talking to the disciples because they couldn't seem to cast this demon out? Is he talking to the whole crowd that's gathered there? I would say yes, yes, and yes. He's talking to all of us. We humans are weak. We humans are fallible. We fall down on the job. We don't listen to Jesus when he says something other than what we want to hear. We don't follow his commands. We don't let his sacrifice sink in and reprioritize our lives. Thank God, though, we have a Lord who doesn't give up on us, who perseveres with us, who has called us his chosen, his beloved. Thank God that Jesus will not stop bearing with us, will not stop forgiving, will not stop exercising our demons, will not be deterred in his mission to reconcile us with the Father as if we were his only child. When we come together on Sundays, you know, our service starts with weakness. Isn't that odd? When we come into worship, we confess our sins. We lay out our weakness before God right off the bat. Now, we change the confession up a bit every season, right? But listen to the words that are in it today. They're in that first section of your bulletin. It says, we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. Confessing our weakness before God on Sunday morning is something more than odd. It's countercultural. It's a game changer. Coming in here and saying, I'm powerless to do anything about my sin, Lord. I am tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. And then to receive God's forgiveness, absolution, our sins forgiven. Our God smiles on us, God's face lifts, and God shines on us with mercy and love. And so, having confessed our weakness, having received this freedom, this forgiveness, then through the rest of the worship service, we walk alongside Jesus. He's giving us his word. He's bathing us in prayer. He is feeding us with communion. And then we're sent forth into the world, weak as we are, weak as kittens, to share the strength that only our Lord can yield. People are looking for him, and they've not yet found him in the crowd. They've not yet found him in the promises of politics. They've not found him in the bottom of the bottle at the bar. They've not found him in the object of their affection. They've not found the Savior. They've not found the healer. They've not found that love that just won't let them go. Now, sharing our weakness with others, we share our Lord's strength and power to heal. You know, we Christians have no qualms about sharing our weakness because in it we know that others may know God's power. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, therefore I'm content with my weaknesses, content with insults, hardships, and persecutions and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. And of what Jesus accomplished in his exodus, Paul refers to it in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. We can be vulnerable. We can share our weakness because in the hands of the Master, it is strength. There's a story about a boy who was in a terrible accident. And he lost his left arm in this accident. A couple of years later, the boy began judo with his new sensei. And the sensei worked with him and he taught him one move. And he had the boy practice it. And when they got together for their classes, he continued to work on it. And eventually he got tired of it and he asked his sensei, When am I going to learn more moves? Sensei said, just do this one move. Do it really well. Well, eventually they went to a competition and the boy in his first bout won handedly. He went on to the second match. He won handily again. And then as they advanced further, they got on up to the finals, and he was against a very formidable opponent, much stronger, much bigger, much more seasoned. And the person who was reffing said to the sensei, "Are you sure you want to do this? I mean, he could really get hurt." Sensei said, "No, we're ready." This young boy goes in there knowing his one move. And he practiced it. And he performed it. And his opponent went down. And he asked his sensei on the way home. He said, "How did this happen?" And he said, "Well, first of all, you learn one move and you've got it almost perfected, and it is one of the best moves in judo. And secondly, the only defense against it is to grab the opponent's left arm." Our weakness in the hands of the Master Sensei. So let us not be afraid to follow into the season of Lent our Master Teacher, who will teach us all the way to the cross, that in weakness God's power is on full display. You know, there's a song, I bet you know it. "Jesus loves me." Can you sing that with me? "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." We are weak, but he is strong. Amen.
Amen.